Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
How to live the best life possible. And this morning, here's what I've discovered. In order to live the best life possible, I need help. I need supernatural help. I need the help of God. And if we don't have the help of God, we're not going to be living the best life possible. If you live your whole life only according to what you can kind of muster or produce or make happen in your own, you're going to do two things. Number one, you're going to wear yourself out. And number two, you're going to rob yourself of a lot of experiences and giftings that God wants to put in your life. And so the best life possible requires the help of God. And I want to give you, if you got your notes this morning, you can start following along with me. I want to give you a few areas that I know that I need the help of God in. And this is not all inclusive, but this is a few of them. First, I need the help of God in the area of wisdom. Despite the rumors, I don't know it all. Despite what you think, you don't know it all either. All the wives in the room, turn your husband around. We won't do that. But we all need the wisdom, don't we? And James says, if any of you lack wisdom, that we should ask the Lord who gives generously, and He will help us. We need wisdom. Here's the second thing we need, is I need ability. So do you. We don't have the ability to do the things that God puts in our life to do on our own. We don't have the ability to be the husband we want to be. We don't have the ability to be the father we want to be. I definitely don't have the ability to be the pastor I'm supposed to be. All that requires the supernatural help of God for me, and it does for you. That's why Psalms 46 reminds us that God is our refuge. We need the help of God to do any kind of ministry. John chapter 15 says that He is the vine, we are the branches. But then the last part of that scripture says, apart from Him, we can do nothing. So we need supernatural ability to help us. Let me take a survey. How many of you would say in the last 14 days, you've said this statement, I am so busy. Right? You ever feel like you're pressed for time? You know, this isn't in your notes. You can have to write this one in. But one of the areas that God's able to supernaturally help you, did you know that God can supernaturally give you more time? Now, some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, there's only 24 hours in a day. But I read the Bible where one day, one of God's men was fighting a battle, and he wasn't going to have enough time to defeat the enemy that day. And so God actually made the sun stand still to bring victory to that guy's life. I'm just here to tell you that God can do what's necessary to bring victory to your life when you choose to put Him first and ask for supernatural help. The last thing in your notes there I'm going to talk about a lot this morning is we need financial help. Any of you ever needed God to supernaturally give you some financial help in your life? I know I have. Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this, consider the ravens, they don't sow or reap. And they have no storeroom and no barn, but yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Did you know that God can cause you to be successful financially? Did you know that God can cause you to live in a way that where you think what I have isn't enough? That God can take what you have and make it more than enough. I said God can take what you think is not enough and make it more than enough. So one of the words says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, says that God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you may abound in every single work. This morning I want to talk about how God can give you supernatural resources this year. If we're going to live the best life ever as an individual, as families, and most definitely as a church, if we're going to live the best life ever, we need the supernatural help of God. Any moment of your life that you're just trying to get by on what you can supply, you are robbing yourself and missing the mark of what God really wants to do in your life. What he wants to give to you is not just natural resources. I'm thankful for those. He wants to give you supernatural resources. Supernatural resources are above what you can produce on your own. And for our text this morning, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'll give you a little update on what we're about to read about. The prophet Elijah has sort of been in a battle with the prophets of Baal, which is a false god of the region. And Elijah has said to them, it will not rain, nor will dew be produced on the ground unless I say so. And he wasn't trying to demonstrate his power. He's trying to demonstrate God's power. And so because of that, the whole land was in a drought. And God told Elijah, I want you to go to a specific place. It's a little brook. And I've commanded the ravens to feed you, and you can drink from the brook, and there you'll be sustained. But in verse number 7 of that chapter, the Bible says these words, that eventually that brook where Elijah was being sustained and fed and drinking from, the Bible says these words, that the brook ran dry. And God spoke to Elijah. He said, go to Zarephath, because when you go there, you're going to discover there's a widow woman that I have commanded to take care of you. And that's where we pick up her story in verse number 8. If you got your Bibles out or your app out, you can follow along with us in the Word of God, or you can just turn your attention to the screen, and we're going to watch her story for the next minute or two.
My husband had passed, and my son and I were left in one of the driest and darkest seasons of our entire lives. The earth was hard and cracked, and I was hungry and thirsty again. I was at the city gates gathering sticks when I heard a man's voice ask me for a drink of water. As I looked up, I could see by this man's dress that he was an Israelite prophet. Now, I thought it was strange that he would ask me for a drink of water. Couldn't he tell by my dress that I was a widow? And widows aren't usually the first ones you ask for help. I agreed to get him his water, and as I was on my way, he called to me again and asked me to please bring him a piece of bread. Now, why was this man deliberately overlooking my circumstances? As surely as the Lord, your God, lives, I said to him, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. Don't be afraid, he said to me. First go and make me a small cake of bread from what you have and bring it back to me. For the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not be dried up until the Lord sends rain on the land. Something about his words made me believe him. And so I did what he told me to do. And he was right. There was enough food every day for me, my son, and the prophet Elijah.
Chapter 17 says that God kept his word. Father, we love you that you're a promise-keeping God. We've already sung about it this morning. Lord, you are able to meet every need we have, not just to the level of our need, but even beyond it. So, Father, I pray that today you'll help us hear the word of God. I pray that there'll be faith that rises in each of us to not just settle for what we can do on our own, but to contend for the supernatural resources you have for every area of our life, in the area of wisdom, in the area of ability, in the area of strength, in the area of ministry, in the area of time, and even in the area of our finances as well. And we'll give you thanks for that. Help me today to preach this word and help us to hear what you want us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you today that God has supernatural provision for you. I say God has supernatural provision for you. Pastor, what area does God have supernatural provision for me? Is it financial? Is it wisdom? Is it time? Is it ability? The answer to all that is yes, but I'll tell you more specifically, He has provision for you in the area of your life you will choose to trust Him. So you can't tap into the resources of God in an area of your life you don't trust to God. And a lot of times we come to the Lord and we trust Him with part of our life, but we don't trust Him with all of our life. And so we end up experiencing His care and His provision and His resources in one area and not every area. But I want you to know today, to live the best life possible, I need and you need the help of God in every area of our life. If I was going to put this sermon in a sentence today, it's not on the screens, we have to write it down, but I would just put it this way, that God's resources follows our decision to trust Him. God's resources for your life follows your decision to trust Him. And when I say trust, I don't mean like just saying you trust Him. Have you ever seen the trust fall example? Where you get two people and you set them up and one person puts their arms like in a cross like this and you fall backwards and you trust the person behind you to catch you. Have you ever done that? You know, I've seen that done. I've never done it because I'll just tell you, I have trust issues. And it's easy for you to say, oh yeah, I trust that person, but it's a whole different deal for you to cross your arms and just fall backwards. In the same way, trusting God is not just singing the song, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. It's about trusting Him with your life. And so this morning, I want to talk to you real quickly about how you can embrace a few principles found in this word this morning for supernatural resources in your life. And those scriptures we just kind of watched demonstrated in a film, you're going to see highlighted from the Word of God today. And here's the first principle I want you to know about supernatural resources is this, is that God's provision or God's resources transcends every season of your life. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 that God had Elijah at a brook and the ravens were feeding him and he was drinking from the brook. But all of a sudden, his brook dried up. Let me just ask you a question today. Have you ever been in a season of life where your brook dried up? Have you ever been handed your notice at your job? Or maybe you were handed a transfer. Maybe they called you in the office and said, you've been making this amount of money, but because of the economy, you're going to make this amount of money. And all of a sudden, your brook is dried up. All of a sudden, you go to the doctor and your health dries up. All of a sudden, you don't have the supply you used to have. Can I tell you, circumstances of your life will change, but God's provision never will. Amen? Your life is going to change. But His provision never will. But the problem is many times we mistake our source for our channel. See, the brook Cherith, where the ravens fed Elijah and where the water came down and he drank of it, though it dried up, Elijah was smart enough to know that the brook was never his source. It was just a channel of God's blessing. As the people of God today, I fear that sometimes we confuse our channel with our source. And when your channel dries up, you got to realize your source never does. Amen? Last night I was watching the Razorbacks win a basketball game. Praise God. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just happy to see us win anything. It's awesome. And after I saw them win, guess what I did? I changed the channel. And I watched someone else win. And I changed the channel, watched someone else. I changed the channel multiple times. But here's what I know. As many times as I changed the channel, the source of everything I was seeing was coming from one place. Right? Different channels. Different streams, but the same source. It was all coming through cable, right? Suddenlink provided it all. In the same way, sometimes we get our eyes fixated on the channels of our life instead of the source of our life. And when our channel dries up or when our channel changes, we just interpret that as meaning, well, God has forsaken us or God has changed. But I want to tell you, God does not forsake His people. God does not change. And He is reliable. And just because your brook is dried up, He still has a source for you today. Amen? He has a source for you today. But here's the deal. Elijah had to listen, and so do you and I. He had to listen and obey to God's instruction to know to change where the channel changed. To hear what God was saying about his source. His brook dried up, but his source did not. I want to just tell you today, don't mistake your brook for your source. Don't mistake your channel for your source. Thank God for your job, but your job is not your source. Thank God for people in your life who bless you, but people are not your source. Thank God for your financial savvy that you have invested and you've got retirements and you've got savings. Thank God for all that. But here's the biggest knock in your head this morning. You're not your source either. One of our biggest struggles as American Christianity today is we think we can be our own source. We can do what we want to do, say what we want to say, act how we want to act, and it's still going to be okay because, after all, the image of God that I worship is the image of my God, not the image of the God. But listen, we got to understand that God is our source and not us. Here's the second thing that we learned, second principle this morning, is that God has commanded provision. Say that phrase with me, commanded provision. Say it again, commanded provision. Let's say it one more time, commanded provision. I hope if I can get anything to you today that you would turn your life into living on commanded provision. Not situational provision. Situations change. Commanded provision never does. The Lord said to Elijah when he was still at that brook that was drying up, he said, go and live at the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. And I've instructed a widow there. The King James Version says, I've commanded a widow there to feed you, to care for you. The only problem was the widow didn't know she'd been commanded yet. Right? But God gives commanded provision for those that follow him. The children of Israel in the wilderness, when they were following the Lord was a fire by night and a cloud by day. And the Bible says that as they were journeying through the river or through the wilderness, that God began to feed them and supply for them. He caused water to come out of a rock if necessary. He caused them to have shoes that would not wear out. I'm going to tell you that sometimes supernatural provision is not just God providing what you don't have, but sometimes supernatural provision is God preserving what you do have. Amen? Travis bought a little white, what was that thing, that car you had? When he was in high school, he bought a Chevy Cavalier. I was his youth pastor. If you don't know the history, this is another life ago. But he had, how many miles did you put on that thing? Over 200,000 miles, over what, a decade you drove that thing? There you go. And every time I see Travis driving that car, I thought, there's got to be some kind of supernatural preservation going on in this car. Because he just kept going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going and going and going. Here's what I'm telling you today. That the provision of God for your life can keep on going. It doesn't run out and it doesn't wear out. He's trustworthy this morning. If you will trust him, he will not only be the provider, he'll be the preserver of the things you have in this life. Billy Graham says it like this. He said, we can be certain that God will give us the strength and the resources we need to live through any situation in life. Listen to this part, though, that he ordains. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. I'm here to tell you that I have been more than one time a benefactor of the sustaining grace of God. How about you? Have you ever been somewhere where your brook dried up and yet God just blessed you anyway? God took care of you anyway. That's what Elijah experienced. He experienced supernatural resources. And friends, God wants you and me to experience supernatural resources in 2020 as well. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I never liked the feeling of needing supernatural resources. Right? I would rather be able to cover it all, pay for it all, know it all, be able to do it all. That makes me feel better. But I've just gotten old enough to know that day's not going to come. When I can know it all, do it all, I need the help of God, and so do you. And he gives us, there is commanded provision for those who follow him. Third of this morning, third principle of God's supernatural resources is that God will bless every obedient person. And the Lord said to Elijah, go live in this village, and I've instructed a widow to feed you there. I want to tell you this morning, you're not an exception to God's ability to provide for. God can meet your needs. God can provide for you. He can make what you think is not enough to be more than enough. There's no place, if you're following along, there is no place that God cannot provide for you. Zarephath was the heart of Baal worship. Remember why there's no rain? Why is there no rain? There's no rain because Elijah said, there's not going to be any rain until I say so. Because the people around that area, they were claiming that their God, the God of Baal, was greater than the God, Jehovah God, our God, Elijah's God. And so Elijah began to say, listen, this ain't got no rain. Because here's the deal. The God of Baal that this area worship is actually known as the storm God. And if you wanted it to rain, you had to pray to Baal, the storm god, and the storm god would make it rain. And here's Elijah saying, Baal is not the god. He cannot provide for you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to disarm him. I'm going to show that my God is more powerful than this God that you've made up and you're worshiping. And so since his specialty is rain, and since his specialty is storms, I'm just going to dethrone him and declaw him. I'm going to make your belief in him futile, and there will be no rain unless I say so. And so every time someone is thirsty, every time someone sees the ground is cracking, getting dry, and every time someone's thinking, man, I wish this drought would end, and they would see Elijah, how many believe he was winning Mr. Popularity? No. He's not popular at all. And yet God sends him to the capital city, if you will, to the main place where all of Baal's prophets lived. Why on earth did God do that? I think it's because God wanted to demonstrate to those people that, listen, I can provide for my own. He wanted to demonstrate God's faithfulness and God's provision to those who were all of a sudden keenly aware that their God wasn't working for them. There's no place that God cannot meet your need, no matter where life sends you. Here's the second thing. There's no person that is so destitute that God cannot bless and use them to be a blessing. God told Elijah, go to the place called Zarephath, and I'm sending a widow woman there to take care of you. Now, I know you can be a widow and wealthy. But when Elijah comes to town, he doesn't come across a wealthy widow, does he? He comes across a widow picking up sticks. You know, if the Lord tells me, Greg, I'm going to send you somewhere and I've got someone to take care of you, I'm hoping the next words out of the Lord's mouth are something like this. Greg, go to Zarephath and Bill Gates is going to take care of you. He's got a huge mansion, and there's a guest quarters at three times the size of your normal house. I'm going to put you up there. That sounds like a great idea. Thanks, Lord. I hope that when the Lord says, Greg, you know, leave this place, I am sending you to Fayetteville, and you're going to live in the Walton Mansion. All of the resources of Walmart are yours now. Great plan, God. But instead, there's no Walton family. There's no Bill Gates. God sends him to a poor widow lady who's convinced she's about to starve herself and says, this is the person I'm going to use to bless you. Some of you in this room, you have convinced yourself, or maybe the devil's convinced you, or maybe it's a tie. I'm not sure who's doing it. But some of you have convinced yourself that you don't have enough to be a blessing. that you can't be used in God's kingdom, that God can't bless you, and he can't use you to bless someone else. But friends, here is subject A as evidence that God can use anyone to be a blessing, to be part of his plan. There's no one that he can't use. God chooses to use a poor widow to sustain Elijah. You know, it's the same is true in the New Testament. Paul talked about the Macedonian church. He said, out of their deep poverty has sprung up this great source of generosity. So the poorest church in town was meeting more needs in town than any other activity that was going on. What I'm telling you today is you have enough to be faithful with, and you have enough for God to bless you with, and you have enough to be a blessing to someone else with. And don't you settle for a life that tells you anything less. God has supernatural resources for you. But here's the catch this morning, is that God uses giving, fourth principle of supernatural resources, is God uses giving as a doorway to release his supernatural resources. Listen to verse number 13. But Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Now, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. Anytime the Bible says do not be afraid, you know what that means? There's something to be afraid of. And this lady is afraid that if I give this prophet my last bit of food and my last bit of oil, if I give him the last thing, me and my son are going to die. She is convinced of that. But the Lord, or Elijah says, don't be afraid. Instead, he challenges her to act in faith. Because here's what I've discovered. Giving always requires faith. And faith always has to be demonstrated, not in the absence of fear, but over fear. If you're not, listen, if in your life right now, if you're not overcoming a little bit of fear, a little bit of angst, a little bit of anxiety in obeying God, whether we're talking about financial, whether we're talking about ministry, whether we're talking about your family, if there's not a little bit of comfort and a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of my own preference that I'm not, if I'm not having to follow God and put my faith in God, despite some of this other stuff present, you have to ask yourself, am I really living a life of faith? I've heard people tell me, well, Pastor, you know, when I get into a different season of life, then I'll trust God more, I'll give more. Let me tell you something about your next season of life. You ready? It's going to require just as much, if not more, faith as obeying God in this season of your life. I asked the Lord one time, Lord, when do I get to the easy part where faith comes with ease? In his own way, he kind of told me that was a long time ago. God challenges us. He delivers to us when we act in faith over our fears. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this widow lady could not see how God could supernaturally bless her. She could not see how she could give Elijah this little bit of oil and this little bit of meal, and her son still have enough to live on for one day, not many days. But Elijah said, don't fear. Just do what the Lord says first. Giving requires faith. Here's the second thing. Listen, giving precedes. You know what precedes means? It comes first. Giving precedes receiving. Elijah said, make a little bit for me first, and then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. I remember several years ago, we were doing this barbecue lunch for Speed the Light. And we'd served everybody. The event was over, and there was this box of food left over. And so we were like divvying it up, and I was going to take some home for me and I, and other workers were taking some home for their family. And, you know, all this stuff, we were divvying it up. And I turned to one person and I said, hey, don't you want to take some of this food home with you? And they looked at me and they said, we don't do leftovers at our house. I thought, well, that's dumb. Doesn't all food taste better the second day? Especially barbecue, and when stuff sits and soaks and stuff, I don't know what happens. I just know it gets gooder on the second day, right? And Elijah tells her, obey God first, and then you can live on the leftovers. I'm so thankful this lady didn't look at Elijah and say, listen, Elijah, I don't do leftovers. Instead, she discovered something. I hope you and I will discover that God's leftovers are better than your first serving. Amen. If you'll learn to put him first, friend of mine, can I tell you, the leftovers of God will far supersede anything you could ever have without him. Friends, if you will trust God with that which is first, he will take that part that you think is missing and make it more than enough for you and your family. He's trustworthy. He's a God of supernatural resources. Because giving attaches me to the promise of God. Giving requires faith. It precedes receiving, but it attaches me to the word or to the promise of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others, will he himself be refreshed? Jesus said it like this, give, and it'll be given back to you full measure, for what you receive will need to be pressed down and shaken together, but it will still run over and be poured into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. There's a lie out there that says, I can just sort of honor God part of the time and he'll bless me partially, when the Word of God actually talks about us putting him first, making God the God of the first things. In Malachi chapter 3, the prophet asked this question, will a man rob God? And you ask, how are we robbing God? And the Lord responds, and tithe and an offering. And you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Listen to what the Lord says in verse number 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Listen to this. This is a phrase that you're not going to find anywhere else in the Word of God. It says, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. I'll prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. What's all that saying? That's saying that giving to God, and not just giving some to God, but giving to God what he says belongs to me, it attaches me to the promise of God. You know, every year, I kind of sit down in the months of November and December, and I begin to pray, and I begin to ask the Lord, if I were to go person to person to person to person in our church, and they were to tell me, you know, at the assembly in 2019, I learned blank, I wonder what they would say. I haven't got the guts to ask any of you that question yet, but just, you can be thinking of your answer. And if it's nothing, then just, when I ask you, just tell me, just eat a Twix or something. But I began to ask, Lord, what about in 2020? Lord, what is the one thing that I want the church, not the only thing, but what is one of the things I want us to learn as a church this year? Lord, what do you want us to learn as a church? And one of the things I just felt stirring in my heart over and over again is I just feel like the Lord wants us to know that he's trustworthy. And I said this at the beginning of the message, you can't discover supernatural provision of God in an area of your life you're not trusting him with. You have to trust him with an area to discover his faithfulness in an area. And I believe, I know that God wants you to experience his faithfulness. I want to say that again. God wants you to experience his faithfulness. How do you know God wants me to experience his faithfulness? Especially in the area of something very touchy like money. Is it because Jesus preached more about money than he did anything else? It could be. But it could also be that he put this instruction in the Word of God where he said, test me in this. Did you get that? God said, try this out. I want you to experience my provision, my supernatural provision, so badly, so deeply, so dearly. I want you to know the joy and the fulfillment of trusting me so dearly. The Lord says, just try it and see. If you want to experience the supernatural blessings of God, I would challenge you this morning, just from the Word of God, try it and see. Try it and see. As a matter of fact, we've been doing this every year of the last few years. We've been kind of putting training wheels on this script, on this scripture for you. Because we don't want anybody to get hurt. Right? So here's the training wheels. We call it the 90-day challenge. We made it this time last year. We're making it again this year. If you're not currently tithing, and by the way, tithing means what? 10. I've heard people say, well, I'm tithing 6%. You can't 10 6. I mean, tithing's 10. And this is more information you want to know, but there's no promise of God to bless you giving 9%. Some people say, well, Pastor, you just read, give and it'll be given. So I can just give some and God's going to bless that. No, because until you give 10%, you haven't given, you've taken. You pick up what I'm putting down. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page here. So honesty starts at 10%. Generosity starts at 11%. There's been years where I gave 8% of my income to the Lord, and that year I was known as a robber. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And I wanted to move from being a robber to being generous, and so I had to move from giving 8% to giving 10 and above because I wanted the blessing of God. I wanted to experience for myself this supernatural resource that God has for me. And so years and years ago, I went from being a taker to being a giver. And can I tell you today, I know what the psalmist said when he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. God takes care of us. How can you promise that to me, Pastor? I can't. But God's Word does. So a couple years ago, when I first became the pastor, I looked at our board members at that meeting, and I brought that scripture to our attention in that board meeting, and I asked those board members, I said, do we believe this? And if we believe it, then I want to do this thing called a 90-day challenge. What does that mean? Here's the deal. If you'll, starting today, pay your tithe, which means what? If you'll pay your tithe for the next 90 days, at the end of 90 days, if you cannot honestly say, God has supernaturally met my needs and been faithful to me and blessed me, at the end of 90 days, we will write you a check, no questions asked, every dollar you've given back to you in 2020. Pastor, that seems arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant at all. I'm just confident in God's Word. And I want to experience the supernatural provision of God. And I want us as a church to experience the supernatural provision of God. And I want your family to experience the supernatural favor of God. But here's what I know. We cannot experience the supernatural resources of God in an area of our life we're not trusting Him with. And so we're just trying our very best to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not just in salvation, thank God for that, but He's good in every area of our life. I can't tell you how God's going to bless you, how God's going to take care of you. I just know He does. This widow lady, she had just enough to feed her son and herself. And I don't know how long a quesadilla fills you up. But in about 3 or 4 hours, she was going to get hungry again. Right? I kind of did a little bit of research for you today. Did you know from the time, the Bible just says many days. For many days, the oil didn't run out, the flour didn't run out. And I began to ask, well, how many days is many days? Most scholars believe it was about 3 years, which means for at least 1,095 days, she kept coming back to that little cup of oil and that little bit of flour. And for over 1,000 days, what she said was not enough was more than enough. Can I tell you, friends, she almost traded 3 hours of resources for 3 years of resources. And I'm saying, God, give us the faith to not trade 3 hours worth of what I can produce for a lifetime of what God can produce. Because just like that widow lady, what I can produce runs out real quick. So I don't want to live my life on what I can produce. I want to live my life on what God can produce. And I want you to live your life on what God can produce. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning all across this room. God has supernatural resources for you. He has supernatural wisdom for you. He has supernatural strength for you. He has supernatural ability for you. He has supernatural time for you. And he also has supernatural provision. Supernatural provision for you. If you'll obey God. If you'll decide that I am going to rely on him as my source. He's not one of many channels. There's a difference between my channel and my source. My job is a channel that God uses, and I thank God for it. But there is a greater source to my life than just my job. The brook dried up, but God had another channel for Elijah. God has another channel for you this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I need supernatural resources in my life. And I'm not going to ask you to identify which area. Maybe you need supernatural wisdom. There's a decision you got to make this week. You need the help of God. Maybe you need supernatural strength this week. You say, Pastor, I'm going through something and I just don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. Today, listen, the Bible says that God can give us the strength we need. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. God can give you the strength you need, the ability you need. Or maybe it is a financial thing like we've talked about this morning. You need the supernatural provision of God. Can I tell you? God will give you supernatural resources in the area you trust him with. If you need wisdom, then you need to do what the Word says. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he'll guide your steps. He'll give you wisdom that's better than your own wisdom, your own reason. But you got to trust him with it. And you say, Pastor, there is an area of my life today that I need supernatural resources, strength, ability, ministry, wisdom, finances. And today I'm just going to put him in charge. I'm going to start trusting him. Maybe you need supernatural relationship help today. Put him in charge of that part of your life. You never know what God will do for you. It'll be for good and not for evil if you put it in his hands and you trust him. Say, Pastor, I need the supernatural resources of God in my life. Will you just lift your hand real quick? Let me, Pastor, pray for me. Amen? 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 Amen. All across this room. Lots of us. Truth is, all of us. I'm just a day or two away at any moment from needing the help of God, fresh and new in my life. I'm keenly aware of that. So I want to pray for you. If you lifted your hands today, Lord, I pray right now. Pray for our church family, our friends in the room today. You lifted a hand. Lord, they're in need of not just help. They need supernatural help. They don't need just good advice. They need supernatural wisdom. They don't need just a good night's sleep. They need supernatural strength. They need peace that comes only from you. They need provision that only you can supply. Lord, maybe it looks like their channel has dried up. Lord, I'm thankful there's something greater than our channel. There's our source. And you're our strength and you're our source. And I pray that this morning, all across this room, you will provide for people's needs. You will give them supernatural resources. Lord, I pray you'll give it to them in such a way that when they see what you do, like this widow lady's testimony, it had to be God. There's no other explanation. How do you go back to a jar for over 1,000 days that you declared empty the first day? There's the help of the Lord. Lord, give people that kind of help in this room this morning. And we'll give you thanks. Secondly, this morning, you still got your heads bowed. Maybe you're here this morning, you never trusted Jesus with your life. You never made him your personal leader, your personal Lord. I want to challenge you today. The greatest resource Christ provides for us is salvation, is right relationship between us and God. And if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, the Word says that if we're faithful to confess our sins, that he is always faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right, to make a way for us where there was no other way, to have right relationship with Jesus. And if you've never made that decision today, let today be your day. Come see myself, see one of the leaders around our church. I'd love to pray with you today before you go, because God's got great things for you. I believe that. Do you stand with me all across this room today? Now, some of you are thinking, Pastor, you know what? I need to trust God supernaturally with my finances. I need to start that 90-day challenge. How do I do that? Here's how you do it. Just give. Start giving that 10%. Mark it on your envelope. Mark it in the memo online if you're giving. 90-day challenge. God has supernatural provision for you. But remember, giving always precedes the resource. And we're praying that today we're going to experience the supernatural resources of God like never before in 2020. I pray that for your life and every area of your life. I believe it for you. Lord, bless this people today. Lord, I pray that today you'll bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them, give them peace and joy, both now and forever. Let them know the supernatural help of the Father, the supernatural resources you have for them, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.